Hello, hello. Welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us. We are with you for the whole hour here on the YouTube America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. I'm Amy Fuller. Well, it is what you have trending, or you or your kids, or maybe some of you who are still young at heart. Frozen 2. The trailer just dropped. So Elsa and friends are back. And we're going to have a look at that coming up with you. And also Dr. Michael Mantel, the author of The Link Is What You Think and the classic Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, P.S. It's All Small Stuff. He's going to be in to talk about when is it too much doing things for your child or even running his or her life well into their 20s and 30s. So funny. And even today on Twitter, the New York Times is, I don't know, they sponsored some article that they did in December of 2018. Parenthood in the U.S. has become much more demanding than it used to be. The relentlessness of modern parenting. We will chat about that and more coming up with Dr. Mantel. And Bart Marquis, former undersecretary for President Bush, will be in to talk about the political headlines of the day, including the Democratic contenders, the New Deal with Mexico, the border wall. And by the way, President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden are campaigning in Iowa today, and that is trending. Biden with a big speech where he declared, President Trump is a threat to the core values of America. And he said that Trump did not care about American farmers. In fact, Biden brought up the president's name 76 times. And that is trending. President Trump responded on those points. Again, this is right before he left to do some campaigning in Iowa for 2020. And, you know, there's Joe. So here's a little bit of what President Trump had to say before himself. China, too, he brought up. Here's a bit about what President Trump had to say himself before he left for Iowa.
No, I'd rather run against, I think, Biden than anybody. I think he's the weakest mentally. And I like running against people that are weak mentally. I think Joe is the weakest up here. The other ones have much more energy. I don't agree with their policies. But I think Joe is a man who was, I call him 1% Joe, because until Obama came along, he didn't do very well. But I, look, but I don't bring him up. The best thing that ever happened to the farmers is me. We gave $16 billion to the farmers to make up for the deficit with China. We gave them $16 billion. We don't give them anything. They earn it because they're patriots. We gave them ethanol at 15, which nobody was ever going to do, which Biden didn't do in 8 years as, you know, vice president. The farmers are my best friend. Nobody has treated the farmers better than Donald Trump.
So, Mr. President, can you explain
the agreement with Mexico? That's the agreement that everybody says I don't have. So, no, because I'm going to let Mexico do the announcement at the right time. Joe Biden is a dummy. Joe Biden thought China was not a competitor. China made $500 billion over a short period of time against Obama, Biden, and for many, many years, in all fairness to them. China is a major competitor, and right now China wants to make a deal very badly. It's me right now that's holding up the deal.
More with Bart Marquis ahead. Now check out this mega viral video of this daddy having a full-on conversation with his little baby.
You need to work on that, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Sure.
Did you understand it, though?
Yeah.
No. Okay. All
right.
Not this one. This is the grand finale of this.
Okay, the last one?
Yeah, that's the last one.
You want to go back to
the movie? That's what I was wondering. I don't know what they're going to do next season because they did some stuff this time.
So, you know what it was about?
Exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Right, don't bring that in. You know what I'm saying? Don't do the same stuff. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I was thinking that, yeah. Yeah. Like, go somewhere else with that, but don't right here, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's what I said. He was like, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, what?
I gotta tell you a little something about yourself. You're one of our fathers. Ooh, you a sexy lady.
Okay, so welcome back to America Trends. Glad to have you along. We are looking at the political headlines of the day. We're going to hear a little bit more right now from President Trump, who, okay, so he and Joe Biden, Joe who's, you know, up and down a little bit in the polls, but basically the front runner in the Democratic pool of candidates, some 22 plus for 2020. They're both, he and President Trump, both heading to Iowa today, or both did head to Iowa today and gave their little speeches. And we heard some of what President Trump responded to Biden about. But let's go ahead and listen to a little bit more what President Trump had to say about, you know, President Biden used his name 76 times. You know, when you bring up Trump, you're going to get ratings, and people know that. So let's take a listen, and we'll respond with Bart Marquis right after this.
Well, I heard Biden, who's a loser. I mean, look, Joe never got more than 1%, except Obama took him off the trash heap, and now it looks like he's failing. It looks like his friends from the left are going to overtake him pretty soon. But I heard, his whole campaign is to hit Trump. You look at what the Obama administration did in terms of the military, in terms of security, in terms of other nations, in terms of almost everything. Much of it now, fortunately for everybody here, has been overturned. But look, when a man has to mention my name 76 times in a speech, that means he's in trouble. Now, I have to tell you, he's a different guy. He looks different than he used to. He acts different than he used to. He's even slower than he used to be. So I don't know, but when he mentions my name that many times, I guess I should be complimented.
76 times in his speech today in Iowa, former Vice President Joe Biden, who's now one of the candidates, one of the many, many on the Democratic front. We are with Bart Marquis, the political analyst here on America Trends and former undersecretary to President Bush, and a really very important contributor to Ops Lens. You want to go there and check him out. He was principal deputy assistant secretary of energy for internal affairs during the Bush admin, and he served as a career foreign service officer with the State Department. Lots of articles there, William Barr in the crosshairs, etc. Bart, so what did you think of, I mean, I guess it goes up and down a little bit in recent days about if Biden's up or down. And right now I saw some strange poll somewhere. I didn't glean who was behind it, but they said, oh, he would smoke President Trump right now if the election were held today.
Yeah. Well, fortunately for him and Bernie Sanders and all the others, the election is 8 months away, according to Bernie. And I'm a little confused because hearing Biden give his speech, I started to think that maybe Trump was Biden's running mate. When you mention a guy that many times, you're kind of dependent on him, aren't you?
Yeah, I like that.
This is the thing about President Trump. He goes there. He goes where other people won't go, and he says what they won't say, but what everybody knows. Everyone knows that Joe Biden was washed up before Barack Obama chose him. And people outside Washington are saying, well, why isn't Obama endorsing Joe Biden? Why isn't he backing him? What's he holding back for? And Obama never liked Joe Biden. I used to joke that the whole reason he chose Joe Biden was life insurance and impeachment insurance, because the only person people wanted less in the presidency than Barack Obama would be Joe Biden. I was only half joking. He used to have a reputation as the dumbest member of the Senate.
Bart, do you remember when he got in? Was it, when did Biden get in?
Oh, 36 years ago,
yeah,
maybe 42
babies.
Years
oh,
ago.
Sure.
Yeah, I know. I was still in grade school. It was in the 70s that he first became a senator, and his staff are very bright. They're very bright, and I know a couple of his staff. They're very capable people and decent people. These are former professional staffers at the Senate. But he's surrounded now by a bunch of young people who don't really know anything. And he really is slipping. He never was bright, and he really is slipping now. He's 76 or 77 years old, and he's not like President Trump. He doesn't have that youthful vigor.
No.
He's slow. Look at his schedule. He's not doing a lot of appearances. And he doesn't get big crowds. He may get a lot of numbers in polls, but that's just name recognition. He shows up, and he has a crowd of maybe 500 people, and this is the front runner for the Democrats? No. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, you know, they are saying that basically when he announced, he just basically announced and really did nothing. And the crowd just showed up and he came ahead in the polls, name recognition all these decades in. But he is getting a lot of flack today for flip-flopping on China, saying, I guess he said in the past, China makes no never mind. It makes no difference. It's not important. And today he reverses course, saying we need to get tough with China. And President Trump was responding to that, saying, can you imagine Sleepy Joe dealing with them? Because as you say, I mean, it's really unfair. But like no one has the energy of President Trump. But what is Trump, 70 what?
71, I think, 72. He's got the mind and body and schedule of a 35-year-old.
Oh,
the guy sleeps 4 hours a night, and he's up, you know, constantly working. And if Biden, you know, Biden wants to talk about China and get tough on China, he can start with his son, Hunter Biden, who is on the Chinese payroll. He sits on the board of a state-owned company, and he's advocating for the interests of a company owned by the communist government of communist China. And how can Joe Biden possibly claim to be looking out for American interests against China when his son, the ne'er-do-well, this is the guy, this is the crackhead, this is the cokehead son. And that's the guy that's on the Chinese payroll. And of course, under Chinese surveillance and probably surveillance of the Russians and everybody else. And you're going to put that guy's dad in the White House? Come on.
I didn't realize that. That's why we love to have you on. I know Hunter Biden is the guy that just recently, when, you know, the criticism over Uncle Joe is that, oh, he hugs too much. And he says, I'm a hugger. But the real issue that the media doesn't like to report on, because it's not nearly as interesting and not nearly as interesting with all the pictures of him hugging people, is the fact that Hunter Biden was on the Ukraine payroll when Joe Biden intervened as vice president and said, do this, stop investigating the company where my son's about to testify, or there will be repercussions. So that's a whole other thing. Now he's on the China payroll. My goodness. Okay, we have a hard break, Bart, but what I want to do is bring you back. Maybe we'll chat more about this if there's more that you want to reveal to us, because I just love your insight and your background. But we're also going to talk about the new deal with Mexico and, my heavens, California fining their own residents for not having health care, but then giving money, free health care, to illegal aliens? We'll chat about it next on America Trends. Better than birds of a feather, you and me. We change the weather. You are with America Trends. We sure are glad you are here with us on the YouTube America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. Bart Marquez is a former undersecretary for President Bush and a current contributor and writer for OpsLens.com. A lot of great articles and insight there. And we chat with him about every week about stuff that's just going on all over the globe and, of course, in the U.S. And, Bart, we always talk about the border because for months and certainly the past several weeks, Border Patrol has been saying, we literally can't take it anymore. And you just wonder, when will the breaking point be? There are oh so many. Yeah. That they can't, migrants coming through. We just got the numbers for May, and it's a 32% surge from April, the highest in 13 years. And they say that 132,000 to 144,000 came through in the month of May and were detained, or they had encounters with Border Patrol. And those are just the people who were caught. I'm sure there are people who sneak across and they get right through. And on June 4th alone, agents detained more than 4,000 people. It's a huge, huge problem. And President Trump has now made a deal with Mexico. And there's even the Wall Street Journal saying, why won't these good liberals help with the humanitarian mess? Because we hear that these people, these migrants who've come across our border, are stacked like cattle, shoulder to shoulder, and can't even sit down, let alone lie down. And there are kids among them. I think if an average American saw, they certainly would not believe that we were in this era and in this America.
It's sad. And, you know, this was created completely by Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the Democrats and the hard deal that they drove on the border for restoring funding to the American government. They held American government workers hostage to this radical extreme agenda on the border. And they said, you can't incarcerate them. You can only have so many beds and so many cells to put them in, and then you have to let them go. And you can't hold them at the border. And then leftist groups went down there and they run advertising, and they pass out flyers and they tell people, quick, now is the time to go to America. Oh. Go there, say this, say the word asylum, find the Border Patrol. That used to be that that illegal aliens ran from the Border Patrol. Now they look to find them and say asylum. Yeah. And they know that word.
They've got it down.
Yeah, and they bring children with them. And because the Democrats put through this policy that if you have a child, you can't be detained. Everybody has a child. They're literally renting children. Mm-hmm. And you still see instances of a child being abandoned in a cornfield or in a forest somewhere, a three-year-old, a six-year-old crying. And they don't know who brought them across the border. They were brought across and dumped there because they were no longer useful. People just wanted to get across the border. Once they got in, they didn't need them anymore, so they let them go.
And then, if possible, they actually, and this sounds so sick, they recycle the very child.
Yes.
Try to use
yes.
that child again, him or her, and it's...
It's human trafficking, and yeah. these children are abused. They're abused violently. They're abused sexually. They are also used to smuggle drugs by the drug cartels that control access to the border from the southern side, and all of this is on the heads of the Democrats.
Gosh.
And frankly on the voters who are voting for them and saying, yeah, we want this. They are, and it's a cynical ploy because they say, bring them here, we will give them gifts, we will give them a living, we will give them healthcare, we'll give them all these benefits because we want them to vote Democrat. We can't get Americans born in America to vote for us, so we have to import millions of new voters. That's what it's all about. That's all the Democrats are doing, is importing new voters, buying their votes,
right,
and making them legal.
There's a huge percentage. I'm trying to grab the number right now, and I can't find it. There's a huge percentage of children that they have found, the U.S. officials, that are not at all related to the people saying, this is my son, this is my niece, this is my whatever. It's all a big lie. So all these things about detaining children, putting them in cages, we're really trying to save them from pimps and human traffickers. So mm-hmm. some of this New Mexico deal, which hopefully President Trump's given them 45 days to really enact this stuff, where he says, we'll reimpose tariffs and maybe more. Apparently, they are supposed to be sending a lot of their National Guard to their southern border, Mexico's southern border, and other choke points to stop these waves, these huge thousands and thousands of people, these caravans, and what have you. And also, the U.S. will reportedly immediately expand its migrant protection protocols, known as the Remain in Mexico policy, which started in January. And those who are coming here trying to come to the U.S. to seek asylum will be returned to Mexico to wait for asylum claims to be heard in court. And Mexico says it will offer jobs, health care, and education to the asylum seekers. Is that still so, Bart? I know there was some back and forth on that.
There was. But what we know for sure Mexico has pledged to do is they are sending 6,000 federales, the mm-hmm. federal police,
right.
down to the border. And an army personnel down to the border to stop the migration from the south across the southern border with mm-hmm. Guatemala. Mm-hmm. They have never before made that kind of effort. They've talked about it before, but they've never sent more than 400 or 500 people. Now they're talking about 5,000 to 6,000 troops and federal police. And the federal police are highly professional, very capable police force. And if they are down there and they're determined to stop them, they will stop them. And they're talking about controlling the people climbing onto the beast, the big train, the freight train that runs from south to north, that's bringing so many thousands of people a day on it. And they are taking those steps. And, you know, when AMLO, the López Obrador, I forget his full name, but they call him AMLO, the new president.
Right.
When he was elected, a lot of people said, wow, you know, the guy's a hard left socialist. Is this going to be all right? He's very anti-American. He has been pro-Mexico. And by being pro-Mexico, he has helped the United States because he's made Mexico stronger. And the Mexican people are better off for it. And he is saying, yeah, you know what? We will make a deal. You treat us with dignity, President Trump, and we'll make a deal with you. And dignity is the word that the Mexican government is using, saying we maintained our dignity and we have a deal. And it's a deal that that is respecting Mexican sovereignty. And we're going to stop these migrants from going into America.
Mm. So good. And today, just today, Joe Biden sort of whined about President Trump not caring about farmers. However, Mexico has agreed to immediately begin buying large quantities of agricultural product from our great patriot farmers, as President Trump puts it. We are low on time, Bart, but I wanted to mention about California giving those huge new benefits to illegal aliens, some 98 million in health care benefits and some, I think, 90,000 illegals from the ages of 19 to 25. Holy cow. 20 seconds, Bart. So sorry.
Unbelievable. Talk about kicking a guy when he's down.
Right. That,
you know, a guy can't afford health care for himself and his family, and you're going to fine him and give the money he gives you to provide health care for people who are in the country illegally. Somebody with a small business, it costs him $27,000 a year before he gets a penny back from an insurance company. And you're going to say, now you have to pay another $10,000 so we can give insurance to an illegal immigrant.
Unthinkable. Thank you, Bart. Welcome back to America Trends. Well, you know, one of the big trending stories we've been talking about for days and days, people just can't let go of, because there are more arrests coming down the way of highfalutin celebrities and business people who have paid big money, up to millions of dollars, to get their little ones, well, their college-age students, into the colleges of their choices. And they're doing it just with money, not by merit and not by sports merit, as they would sort of pretend to be. And so it brings up a lot of questions about how far will we go to get away with what we can to help our kids. Maybe it's human nature, but are we doing them any darn favors? And the answer is probably a big, hefty no. We are so glad to be joined this hour by Dr. Michael Mantel. He is the link of Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. P.S. It's all small stuff. And The Link Is What You Think, his very, very latest. He is one of the most sought after professional behavioral coaches in the world. And I just love that you're here to break this down with us. And here's the book, The Link Is What You Think. So I imagine we're trying to build our kids up to help them do this. I imagine in the long run, and maybe even in the short term too, we're really tearing them down.
Yeah, people think that they're cheating the system. They're really cheating their children.
Oh, I like that.
That's exactly what they're doing. The fact is, a long time ago, I was being interviewed for a story about, I'm blocking his name all of a sudden. The guy who killed the athlete who killed his ex.
Yes. I can't think of his name.
In any case. Yeah. And I said, this is the story of the failure of success in America. Okay. With all that, that's what this is about. These are successful people. And look how they have failed. They have failed their children. They failed their families. They have failed. And I will just discuss this. I think they're going to fail the American workplace as well. These children have learned it's okay to cheat, it's okay to lie, because you really don't have it.
Not only is it okay, but that's the way to do it. That's the way to grease the skids and to get where you want to be. That's just the way it's done. It's what everybody does.
Well, it's not, thankfully. Mm-hmm. But the message, and the reason I say they're cheating their children, is because essentially they're saying, you're an imposter. Look, I was blessed to be able to go to a very fine university for my PhD, University of Pennsylvania. And we like to joke that everyone walked around that campus for the first year thinking, how did I ever get in?
Aww.
Are they going to find out that we're here? Okay. That imposter feeling is a little bit natural. But for these kids, the message is you're really not good enough to get in. We're going to pay your way. Something else I'm going to say, it's going to be a shock. I believe the number of kids who had no clue, you probably can count maybe on a couple of hands.
So what they're saying are these 50 parents or so that they've charged so far, that some of the kids might not have known. It was just done behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is, I think the kids
I think these kids know. Why? Because this is not the first thing these parents have done along the way of indulging these kids.
It's interesting you talk about, I don't know if it's called imposter syndrome, but people do worry, like you get somewhere and you think, well, you can take even the presidency. People say when you become president of the United States of America, you're not really president till 4 years after, when you've really been there. And that is how so many of us feel when we get to the next level. We feel like, boy, what am I really doing here? When we have the merit to get there. However, it's true that these kids, if they are told, they know that they got here by unscrupulous means. They will know that's going to be planted inherently in them, that I got here not legitimately. And that can go a long way into delegitimizing everything they feel about what they do in the future.
Absolutely. And this is not the first message, the first time they've gotten that message. They got that message long ago. We want to make sure you're wearing the best clothes. We want to make sure you're on the best clubs.
Mom's a big star. Don't embarrass her.
And that is the other part of this story. You think this is about the kids?
No.
This is about the parents. I can't go have coffee with my friends if my daughter or son didn't get into that big name school. And so now the other slap in the face that just came out this morning is research that apparently was released a long time ago, a couple years ago, but is just being talked about. Guess what? This college label doesn't really matter. You know what matters? What kind of a person you are. What were your SAT scores and ACT scores in high school? 10 years later, that's what's predicting, not the label of the university. Because if you're a hardworking human being, if you have character, if you have honesty, you're generally going to ascend.
The cream rises to the top, and that's an adage, and it becomes an adage because it's true.
It's true. In Psalms, we are told, discipline your child, and he or she will bring delight to your heart and rest to your mind. Think about that. Mm-hmm. We are not disciplining children. We live in a child-centric society.
Oh, you're so right.
Now, this is not the first time that we are talking about spoiled children. This goes back to 1948, actually even before I was born, 1948, when that term, spoiled child psychology, was used. Later in 1989, it became very popular.
I got to just stop you. I'm so interested in the history of things like this. Spoiled child what?
Psychology.
Spoiled child psychology became something that was named and looked into as late as the late, or as early as the late 40s?
1948. And there was a lot of, it's not true, it's not a diagnosis, and so forth. In 1989, a pediatrician comes along and says, there is something called the spoiled child syndrome. No, the psychiatrist said there's no such thing. It doesn't hold up. However, in 2013, Ethan Couch, I think his name was, kid went on a joyride, got a little drunk, killed 4 people. Apparently, there was a diagnosis that they paid some psychologist to come up with called affluenza.
That wild story. I just remember that. Like affluent, enza.
Affluenza.
And he was spoiled, and he went, and he did.
Yeah.
He killed people. And
4 people.
You would read it all the time on social media, and you're like, did that really happen? Are you kidding?
So now we have people who have gotten into colleges, perhaps even graduated, and so people say, okay, so Dr. Mantel, what do you think should happen to the kids? You're not going to like. Well, you will like this. You know what I think?
What?
Take them out of that school. I'm sorry, you cheated your way to get in here, but I didn't know. Well, remember when your parent put that golf club in your hand and said, pretend you're on the team, you knew.
Or better yet, we have a woman named Elizabeth Kimmel, who's in Southern California,
right here.
Media mogul. And she
they say, allegedly took a picture of a pole vaulter, put her son, put her kid's head on. You know, and you just think, poor thing, if he didn't know, put it to get him into the college of his choice.
Sweetheart,
so it goes so far and wide.
You're going to sit in the SAT, and the person next to you is going to like whisper, they know. So I think those children, if they're not held responsible, we are saying, it's okay. You go on to the world of work and take that attitude. I've cheated my way in. Look, these spoiled kids, they are become dependent. They become very irresponsible. They become disrespectful. They have poor social skills. They're narcissistic.
We may not even know yet because there's so much being handed to them now that hasn't been before. So we don't know what they're going to grow up to be like. But I want to hold you after the break, sure, and talk about a new term, snowplow parenting.
Right.
And what we do if you want to, if you think you might be a helicopter parent, how to pull back.
Right.
In a manageable way. We'll be right back with Dr. Mantel. You may have heard the term helicopter parenting, but now there's a whole new one. It's called snowplow parenting and what, lawnmower?
Lawnmower and snowplow, right.
We're here with Dr. Michael Mantel. He's the author of his latest book, The Link is What You Think, and Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. P.S. It's all small stuff. And we're talking about the college admissions scandal. And you can't help but wonder, did this helicopter parenting and us trying to just do everything for our kids, because, Doc, I don't want to knock people. We no. want to. It's human nature.
Of course.
However, when you are helping them get into college, and then there's a, you and I were throwing around an article, passing it back and forth this morning, about parents who literally, when their kids are adults, are still managing their lives and saying, hey, don't forget you have a doctor's appointment. Don't forget you need to meet with your boss today. This is madness.
74% of parents of kids between 18 and 28 make appointments for those kids, including doctor's appointments. But I guess 16-year-old kids can vote.
So, well, that's what the Democrats want. 16-year-olds can vote, but no one can have guns.
Right, but they can't make their own appointment. No. Hello, sir, my daughter works for you, and I want to talk to you about the way you're treating her. Come on, this is crazy.
So, Doc, how much should we hold the kids responsible? I mean, if this is what they're being taught, this sort of lifestyle and this sort of this is how it gets done, I mean, you got to be held accountable at some point in life. So if you have a kid, they're in college, and they know their parents grease the wheels to get them in. Yeah. I mean, what are the ramifications
for
them?
Well, I'll tell you, let's distinguish between the helicopter parent who's flying over the road and looking down and saying, Joey, there's a little bump up ahead. Get prepared. Get ready. The road is going to be difficult ahead.
Well, that seems like good parenting.
That's good parenting.
Look, there are going to be some bumps. Get ready. I'm at the bump. Let me hold you over it. Okay. Let me stop my own life to make sure, let me pounce you over, then go on. And then when the next bump comes, let me know, and I will fix it too.
And that's the lawnmower or the snowplow.
Lawnmower
We are going
snowplow.
To go through the road and change the road for you, sweetheart, not change you to adapt to the road.
Okay, wait. That's so great. It needs to be said again. You want to prepare your kids for life. But on the other hand,
these parents have changed life for their children. There's nothing wrong with preparing your children to, in fact, it's a gift. Mm-hmm. It's a gift to help children learn discipline, learn how to express frustration, learn how to deal with difficulties, adversarial situations, challenges, obstacles. The snowplow parent or the lawnmower parent just comes in and clears out the obstacle. Okay, you can go now.
If the teacher gives Jimmy detention, it's the teacher's fault, and the parent goes in and yells at the teacher.
Right.
These are things we've been hearing about for several years.
Right, exactly. And I think that, you know, we've always had a culture of that's what I would call child-centric. Goes back to the Pilgrims, and yeah, they were a little more disciplinarian about it. But I think that we've developed a self-esteem culture. Here's your trophy for participating. You were the first person to come in last. Congratulations. Okay.
Well, you got to excel in something.
Right. What we're doing to these children is creating a self-esteem culture. And let me be very clear about this. Self-esteem is cancer for the emotions. We don't want kids who have high self-esteem. We want kids who can unconditionally accept who they are. I'm not perfect. I didn't go to Harvard or Yale or Penn. I am who I am. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, what they're learning is, oh, I don't have a degree from Yale. Oh, I'm not very worthwhile.
I had someone on this week saying that every time you enable your child, imagine yourself cutting them. If you really want to get down to brass, isn't that good?
That's
if you want to get down to brass tacks and get a real analogy of what you're doing to your kid, imagine I'm enabling. No, you're cutting them. So let me ask right now, if I'm a parent, and I think I might be a little culpable in being a little bit of, too much of a helicopter parent, a snowplow parent, enabling my kid.
Right.
How do I stop? How do I draw back in this day and age? Because all the other parents are doing it. They're uploading it to social media. My kid's great. Look at the birthday party I threw for them. This,
right.
That, and the other.
I have a slide that I prepared on how to spoil your children.
Okay, this should be good.
Okay. Four quick things. Number one, don't enforce consistent age-appropriate limits. Just let them do what they want to do. Shield your children from normal, everyday frustrations. In other words, whatever happens, make sure they don't feel any frustration.
Boy, we need those frustrations, though, don't we? They build it up. They build us up.
Right. They create strength. Provide excessive material gifts, even when the child has not behaved appropriately. And make sure that you bribe your kid to do whatever it is you want that child to do. And then be an example of a liar or a cheater.
Oh, Doc, it goes so far, not what we say, but what we do. If they see you doing that, that's what they learn.
They sit in the back seat of the car and they watch what you do at that stop sign. Today, if you have money, you think, don't worry about that, I can buy my way out. And that's the message we're giving. Look, everyone's jumping onto this Jared Kushner's father gave $2.5 million to Harvard and he got in. That happens in this world. That's life. It's unfortunate. Many people, 87% or some 84% of people say it's unfair. But that's what happens in this world. Did they sit down and change his SAT score? I don't think so. Did they make believe he was a veteran of some war? No.
Did they put his head on the body of another pole vaulter to get him in?
No. This is the way life is, unfortunately. So what do we do? I think what we do is we have to talk to our children very differently today.
Even from yesterday we talked to them one way, but today we might realize we need to bring this back. Sit them down and say, let's dial this back.
This scandal ought to be the topic of conversation at every dinner table.
So true.
Oh, wait, do parents still have dinner with kids? I don't know.
If
not, they ought to be doing that.
So 40 seconds. What else can we do? And what if one parent is a helicopter parent and the other wants to pull back? How do you do that magnanimously?
Oh, that's for another segment if we only have 30 seconds left. Because that opens up divorce possibilities. But very quickly, talk to your children. Honey, we have four things we have to get done today. You pick one that you'd like to do, and I'll help you along with it, and then I'm going to step back and go do what I have to do. Mm-hmm. That gives children a voice, it gives children a sense of pride, and it helps children understand that there are actual responsibilities in life we all actually have to do.
You don't get everything you want. We don't stop everything just for what your goals are for today.
Did you get that in your life? Of course not.
Oh, no.
No, of course not. We work very hard for whatever it is we've accomplished.
Yeah, and you respect your parents for it. Okay, Dr. Mantel, he is the author of The Link is What You Think, and we follow you on social media because you always have the greatest tips. So thank you for this advice on snowplow parenting, a new term we'll all remember. We'll see you next time, okay? All right, we're back on America's Friends after this, guys.
Okay.
I want to say thank you to our guest for this hour, Bart Markhuis, former undersecretary to President Bush, as well as Dr. Michael Mantell, the author of The Link Is What You Think and the classic Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, P.S. It's All Small Stuff. Dr. Mantell talked about swooping down, helicopter parenting, which is always interesting how things change over the decades. And Bart had the political headlines of the day, including the New Mexico deal and California giving all kinds of benefits to illegal aliens, benefits that naturalized citizens and those born here don't get at all. So we appreciate them. Also want to thank you and remind you that you can find us 24/7 on our websites, YouTubeAmerica.com and YTAClub.com. That's where you can find some of our past broadcasts. Also on BizTalk Radio, you can find our podcasts. Download them, check around, and see some of our previous guests. There it is. And we also would really, really, really love to see you on social media. We are at all the usual suspects. Here's Twitter. So it's like at U2America. Also, the U2America page on Facebook. And we have an America Trends page, too. So let's just click on all those and like us to death. My heavens. Also, Instagram. So we will see you there, and let's all be friends. Finally, okay, so Elsa is coming back. Frozen 2, Alert the Little Ones. The new movie's coming, and the trailer dropped today, and you all have it trending. Coming out in November, but we have your first look and listen now as we say goodbye for now.
Lands and into the unknown. But be careful. We have always feared Elsa's powers were too much for this world. Now we must hope.
I won't let anything happen to her.